Blog Talk Radio.
You know, I once wrote a couple of poems that might, in a way, be called twin poems, but opposite twins, not identical.
Mm-hmm.
Many of our, as you term them, Caucasian brothers seem to think that all Negroes are just alike, you know?
Yeah.
They don't know that there are within our groups many shades of opinion, various social classes, various reactions, conventional or unconventional, to what goes on in the world.
Mm.
At any rate, we do have, as you and I know, poor people, in-between people, well-to-do people, people with enough money to send their children to the Sorbonne in Paris. What were you going to say, Mama?
I was going to say, I wonder how it's possible for people not to realize this.
Well, it's because there's such a gulf between
mm-hmm.
white Americans and black Americans that we often don't know each other. And, of course, you know the whole saying that the Negro knows the white man better
yes.
than he knows us, because very often we work for them and,
mm-hmm.
and we know them pretty well. But after work, they never see us, you know. It's like Harlem, where I live. In the daytime, you see many whites up there in Harlem because they own many of the shops, and their clerks are, many of them, white.
Mm-hmm.
Let 5 o'clock come, 5:30 come, 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Gone. They've gone to Westchester, to Long mm-hmm. Island, to downtown, where they live, you see. They don't live with us.
Mm-hmm.
And all you see at night in Harlem, the only white people you see are the police. Which is not good.
No.
Because that immediately makes of the white world a symbol of oppression. And you can walk down the street on Sunday in Harlem. Not very long ago, I walked all the way from 155th Street, where I live, to 127th Street, which is 3747, which is about 30 blocks.
Mm-hmm.
On a Sunday afternoon, I did not see one single white person except a policeman. I was on the alert to see whom I might see. Well, that's my Harlem. At any rate, among ourselves, there are various social classes. And this poem, or this twin poem,
mm-hmm.
shall I say, is about the people who are high, some of them, not all, and the people who are low. And it's a sort of dialogue. So the first one is called Low to High. How can you forget me? But you do. You said you was going to take me up with you. Now you've got your Cadillac. You done forgot that you are black. How can you forget me when I'm you? But you do. How can you forget me, fellow? Say, how can you low-rate me this way? You treat me like you darn well please. Ignore me. Though I pay your fees, how can you forget me? But you do. And the answering poem is called High to Low. God knows we have our troubles too, and one of them is you. You talk too loud, cuss too loud, look too black, don't get anywhere, and sometimes it seems you don't even care. The way you send your kids to school with their stockings down, not to ethical culture. The way you shout out loud in church, not at St. Philip's. And the way you lounge on doorsteps just as if you were back down south, not at 409 Edgecombe Avenue. The way you clown, in other words, the way you let me down. Me, trying to uphold the race, and you. Well, you can see. We have our problems, too.
Yes. that one reminds me of one that I wrote in recognition of a similar problem. As for the hopes that others fondle, I am denied. For whether to stand before the gate and moan will release to me that that still is my own is unproven. Who can tether the will-o'-the-wisp tone of a thief? or mold the perplexing truth into patterns that induce belief.
I went to a banquet the other night, said Simple, and I've never seen nothing like it. The chicken was good, but the best thing of all was the speech. Well, that's unusual, I said. Banquet speeches are seldom good. This one were a killer, said Simple. In fact, it almost killed the folks who give the function. Who gave it? Some women's club that a big fat lady what goes to Joyce's dancing class belongs to. Her name is Mrs. Sadie Maxwell Reeves, and she lives so high up on Sugar Hill that people in her neighborhood don't even have rooms. They keep the whole house for themselves. Well, this Mrs. Maxwell Reeves sold Joyce a deuce of $3 ducats to this banquet her club was throwing for an old gentleman who is famous around Harlem for being an intellect for years, also very smart as well as honest, and a kind of all-around artist, writer, speaker, and whatnot. His picture is in the Amsterdam News this week. I cannot recall his name, but I will never forget his speech. Tell me about it, man, and do not keep me in suspense, I said. Well, Joyce says the reason that club gave the banquet is because the poor old soul is so old he's about on his last legs, and although he is great, nobody has paid him much mind in Harlem before. So this club thought, instead of having a dance this year, they would show some intelligence and honor him. They did, but he bit their hand, although he ate their chicken. I beg you, get to the point, please. It seems like this old man had always played the race game straight and has never written no Amos and Andy books, nor no songs like That's Why Dockers Are Born, nor painted no kinky-headed pictures as long as he's been an artist, for which I give him credit. But it also seems like he did not make any money because the white folks wouldn't buy his stuff, and the Negroes didn't pay him no mind because he wasn't already famous. Anyhow, they say he will be greater when he's dead than he is alive, and he's mighty near dead now, poor old soul. The club give that banquet to catch some of his glory before he passes on. He gloried them, all right. In the first place, he ate like a horse. I was sitting just the third table from him, and I could see. Mrs. Maxwell Reeves sort of likes Joyce because Joyce helps her with her high kicks, so she gives us a good table up near the speaking. She knows Joyce is a fiend for culture, too. Facts. Some women's, including Joyce, are about culture like I am about beer. They love it. Well, when we got almost through with the dessert, which was ice cream, the toastmistress hit on a cup with a spoon, and the program was off. Some great big dame with a high voice and her hands clasped on her bosoms, which were fine, sung, "Oh, carry me home." "Oh, caro nome," I said. "Yes," said Simple. "Anyhow, hard as I tried that ear, I really do not like concert singers. They're always singing in some foreign language." I leaned over the table and asked Joyce what the song meant. But she snaps, "It's not important what it means. Just listen to that high C above E." I listened fluently, but it was Dutch to me. I said, "Joyce, what is she saying?" Joyce says, "Please don't show your ignorance here." I said, "I'm trying to hide it. But what in God's name is she singing about?" Joyce said, "It's in Italian." "Shh! For my sake, kindly act like you got some culture even if you ain't." I said, "I don't see why culture can't be in English." Joyce said, "Don't embarrass me. You ought to be ashamed." I said, "I'm not ashamed. Neither am I Italian. And I do not understand their language." Oh, we would have had a quarrel right then and there had not that woman got through and sat down. Then a man from the Urban League, a lady from the Daughter Elks, and a gentleman librarian all got up and paid tributes to the guest of honor. And he bowed and smiled and frowned and ate because he could not eat fast, his teeth being about gone. So he still had a chicken wing in his hand when the program started. Finally came the great moment. "Shh," said Joyce. "I ain't said a word," I said, "except that I sure wish I could smoke in here." "Hush," says Joyce. "This is a cultural event, and no smoking is allowed. We're going to hear the guest of honor." You should have seen Mrs. Sadie Maxwell Reeves. She rose to her full heights She is built like a pyramid upside down anyhow. But her head was all done fresh and shiny with a hair rocker roached up high in the front. And they advertised in evidence snood down the back. Also a small bunch of green feathers behind her ear and genuine diamonds on her hand. Man, she has bosom glasses that pulled out and snapped back when she reads her notes. But she did not need to read no notes. She was so full of her subject. If Woods was flowers and he was dead, that old man could not have had more bouquets put on him if he'd have had a funeral at Delaney's where the big shots get laid out. Roses, jonquils, pea lilies, forget-me-nots, pansies, dogwoods, African daisies, also hydrangeas, fell all over his head out of that lady toast mistress's mouth. He was sprayed with the perfume of eloquence. He were welcomed and re-welcomed to that $3 banquet and given the red plush carpet. Before that lady got through, I clean forgot I wanted to smoke. I was spellbound, smothered in it myself. And then she said, "It is my pride, friends, my pleasure, nay, my honor. Without further words, allow me to present this distinguished guest, our honoree, the Honorable Dr. So-and-so and Dr. So-and-so and so." I did not hear his name for the applause. Well, sir, that old man got up, and he did not smile. It looked like he cast a wicked eye right on me. He said, "It is my pride, friends, my pleasure, nay, my honor. Without further words, allow me to present this distinguished guest, our honoree, the Honorable Dr. So-and-so-and-so." I did not hear his name for the applause. Well, sir, that old man got up, and he did not smile. "And my pleasure, nay, my honor. Without further words, allow me to present this distinguished guest, our honoree, the Honorable Dr. So-and-so-and-so." I did not hear his name for the applause. Well, sir, that old man got up, and he did not smile. It looked like he cast a wicked eye right on me. And he did like a snake charmer to Joyce, because nobody could move our heads. He did not even clear his throat before he said, "You think you are honoring me, ladies and gentlemen, of the Athenian Art Club, when you invited me here tonight? You are not honoring me a damn bit. I said not a bit." You could have heard a pin drop. Men glued to their seats. Joyce, too. "The way you could have honored me, if you'd wanted to, ladies and gentlemen, all these years would have been to buy a piece of my music and play it, or a book of mine and read it. But you didn't. Else you could have booed off the screen a few of them Uncle Toms thereon and told the manager of the Hamilton you'd never come back to see another picture in his theater until he put a story of mine in it or some other decent, hard-working Negro. But you didn't do no such thing. You didn't even buy one of my watercolors. You let me starve until I might and I blew black in the face. And not one of you, from Sugar Hill to Central Park, ever offered me a pig's foot. Then, when the New York Times said I was a genius last month, here you come now, giving a banquet for me when I'm old enough to fall over in my grave, if I was able to walk to the edge of it, which I am not. Now, to tell you the truth, I don't want no damn banquet. I don't want no honoring where you eat as much as me and enjoy yourselves more, besides making some money for your treasury. If you want to honor me, give some young boy or girl who's coming along trying to create arts and write and compose and sing and act and paint and dance and make something out of the beauties of the Negro race, give that child some help. Buy what they're making. Support what they're doing. Put out some cash. But don't come giving me, who's old enough to die and too near blind to create anything anymore anyhow, a great big banquet that you eat up in honor of your own stomachs as much as in honor of me, who's toothless and can't eat. You hear me? I ain't honored. That's what the old man said and sat down. You could have heard a pin drop if every one had dropped, but nary one dropped. Well, then Mrs. Maxwell Reeves got up and tried to calm the waters, but she made matters worse, and that feather behind her ear was shaking like a leaf. She pulled at her glasses, but she could not get them on. She said, "Doctor, we know you are a great man, but to tell the truth, we have been kind of vague about just what you have done." The old man said, "I ain't done nothing but eat at banquets all my life, and I'm great just because I'm honored by you tonight. Is that clear?" The lady said, "That's beautiful and so gracious. Thanks. It sounds so much like Father Divine." The old man said, "Father Divine is a genius at saying the unsayable. That's why he is great, and because he also gives free potatoes with his gospel. And potatoes are just as important to the Spirit as words. In fact, more so. I know." "Do you really think so, Doctor?" "Indeed. Well, I wouldn't have come here at all tonight. I ate in spite of the occasion. I still need a potato and some meat, not honor." "We're proud to give you both," said Mrs. Sadie Maxwell Reeves. "Compliments returned," said the old man. "The tickets you sold to this affair on the strength of my name are feeding us all." Mrs. Sadie Maxwell Reeves came near blushing, but she couldn't quite make it, being brown-skinned. I don't know what I did, but everybody turned and looked at me. I said, "Joyce, I got to go have a smoke." Joyce said, "This is so embarrassing. You laughing out loud. Oh!" I said, "It's the best $6 worth of banquet I ever had, because I paid for them tickets, although Joyce bought them." I said, "If you ever want to take me to another banquet in honor, I will go, though I don't reckon there will be another one this good." "You have a low sense of humor, Mr. Semple," said Joyce, all formal and everything, like she does when she's mad. "Shut up so I can hear the benediction." Reverend Patterson Smythe prayed, then it were over. I beat it on out of there and had my smoke whilst I was waiting for Joyce, because she looked mad. On the way home, I stopped at the Wonder Bar and had two drinks, but Joyce would not even come in the back room. She waited in the cab. She said I was not the least bit cultural. Still and yet, I thought that old man made sense. I told Joyce, just like he said, "It is more important to eat than to be honored, ain't it?" Joyce said, "Yes, but when you are doing both at the same time, you can at least be polite. I mean, not only the doctor, but you. It's an honor to be invited to things like that. And Mrs. Maxwell Reeves did not invite you there to laugh." I said, "I didn't know I was laughing." "Everybody else knew it," she said when we got to her door. "You was heard all over the hall. I was embarrassed not only for you, but for myself. I would like you to know that I am not built like you. I cannot just drink and forget." "No matter how many drinks I drink," I said, "I will not forget this." Then I laughed again, which was my error. I did not even get a good night kiss. Joyce slammed the vestibule door dead in my face. So I went home to my third floor rear and laughed some more. If I wasn't honored, I sure was tickled. And at least, I ain't stingy like them Sugar Hillers. They wouldn't buy none of his art when he could still enjoy the benefits. But me, I'll buy that old man a beer anytime.